Okay. So we last week, so Rishon Beis is the siman about Pidyon Shvuyin. So Pidyon Shvuyin really is two main sugyas. One is the issue of how important is it, and this suffix that's out there of would it even be that you would sell Sifrei Torah for it, and things like that. Money is sanctified for the shul. So that was last week's issue. And then this week's issue is really this takana that is out there that is described in a Mishnah in Meseches Gittin. Where it seems to, where, all right, well, we'll just read it right now, where it tells us here, you could just, I guess, read in the Beis Yosef. Ein poda neshvuyin yosu mifdei demen. The one is prohibited from being poda shvuyin, from being poda captives, redeeming captives, more than their worth, yosu mifdei demen, mifnei tikkun olam, for the benefit of the world. So the Gemara then has a debate as to what that means. Now, I will say straight up, right off the bat, did this just stop? No, it's still going. Right off the bat, this whole thing is, Lachol Maisa really turns out, and from what I could tell, very ambiguous. It could be that it's by design, very ambiguous as to what exactly this takana is. But there was a takana passed about somehow mitigating the responsibility of somebody to redeem captives under certain circumstances. I think that's as clear. Everything else about that is up for debate as to what this means. So that debate already begins in the Mishnah. Why is that? So here it says, Mashakasav Shalo Yehua Oivim Mostrim Atman Lehem Lishbosim Afilim Krovim Rotsim Lift. Those even if relatives want to do it, that's all quoted from the Torah. So the Beis Yosef actually quotes the Gemara. So Sham Gemara, the Gemara tells Maseches Gittin, Ibailahu, if they tikkun olam, Mishum Ducha the Tzibura. So it says it's because of Tikkun Olam, that much we know. What does that mean? So Mishum Ducha the Tzibura, who is it because it would be an extreme difficulty, it would be a burden on the community, and therefore they shouldn't have to impoverish themselves having to redeem captives. Odil mishum delo ligravu v'laisitve, that perhaps they're going to go out and they're going to capture more.
Yeah.
So,
I'm agreeing with you.
You're agreeing with both?
Yeah,
or
it's a business. In some parts of the world.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's a machlokas already. So, right, that they either they shouldn't go out and get it, okay, but Rashi right away spells out, really the Gemara spells out what the naf means. What's the naf mean in between those two reasons? So the naf, the major naf. Oh, here it is. Sorry, Peirush Rashi. And Rashi tells us, "V'naf gamina im yesh lo av usher." Let's say he has a rich dad, o karov, or a relative, sherotz lifdoso b'damim harbe, that wants to redeem them, even though it is a lot of money. V'lo yafiluhu al tzibur, and therefore the responsibility is not going to fall onto the tzibur. So that's the dispute between those two. That would be the nafkamina between those two positions. So then the Gemara tells us a story. So Tashma the Levi Bar Darga. So Parka Labar Seif Yud Gimel Alfe Dinri. That this fellow named Levi Bar Darga redeemed his daughter for 13,000 dinari zahav, golden dinars, which apparently is a lot of money. So that seems to, Gemara is sort of bringing that as a proof. You say, ah, you see, the relative is allowed to go ahead and make that and redeem for that amount. Redeemed for an exorbitant sum. So Abai responds by saying, "Amar Abai, uman lemalad debaratzul chachamim avin." Who says that he was doing it? Who says that the chachamim approved? I mean, very nice. You quoted a story about somebody who did something. So who says he was right? Now, it's very rare. Usually, when the Gemara is quoting stories, it's usually to prove a point. It's very rare that the Gemara pipes in and says, yeah, well, who says he did the right thing? Now, yeah, it's true. This person is not a Rav. Is not, but like, it's still an odd, what?
We don't know who this guy is.
We don't know who he is. I understand. But, okay. So, but it's... Find me other places in the Gemara where the Gemara raises a question on the Gemara on a story in that particular way. Yeah, okay, I understand it's different. Who knows? I mean, the Gemara makes logical sense. I'm just pointing out that this is sort of a different type of sugya in that people do. I mean, obviously these types of things put people in desperate situations, and as much as we might learn it in sort of a removed type of way, right? These are real things, right? People are taking family members, and what are we doing? This guy went out and spent all this money, and word got around that he did so, and he was proud. He didn't care about it. That word got out that he did this, despite the fact that it might have even been against the ratzon of the chacham. Fine. Tosos makes the point there. V'chasu atosos v'harash, delo ligruru, that they're not going to be what was the term? They're not going to go out and want to capture more. So v'hadatanya v'perek nara. But what about a gemara in Maseches Ksubas? What does it say there? So nishbis v'hayim v'vachshim imenu adasar b'damea pamrishona poda. That there's a Gemara Maseches Ksuvos talks about the responsibilities that a husband has towards his wife, as well as vice versa, what the wife's responsibilities are towards the marriage. And the Gemara Ksuvos points out that one of the responsibilities that a husband has is if his wife is taken by bandits and held ransom, so it's one of the responsibilities of the Ksuva that he has to figure out a way to redeem her. Okay, then he has to go ahead and redeem her. So the Gemara makes a comment, yeah, even for 10 times her value, but only once. Only once. Right, you only get one literal get out of jail free card. So the Gemara cut, well, not free to her. So shiny ishto, the Gemara says shehi kugufo yosrim ibeto. So the Gemara makes a comment though, but the wife is different because that's like kugufo. Oh, sorry, Tosfos makes that comment. The Gemara does not make that comment. The Gemara Tosfos raises that question. He says, wait a second, what about the story with the wife? Right, the Tosfos here, the Tanya Perek Nara. I'm reading out of Tosfos here in the Gemara. Nishus Hayim Vakshri Men Adasar B'Dameh Pam Rishon Poda Shiny Ishur the Hayi Kagufu Yosem Ibeito. Bito. Right. That is more chashuv of him than anything. And the takana is not going to be on himself. I mean, he can pay his own money out. So just he can pay his own money out. He could also pay for his wife. Right? Actually, that's here in the Beis Yosef. The asma lo shelo yitin lo ba'ed nafsho. Now, the Gemara doesn't actually say that, right? I don't think the Gemara actually says anywhere that he could do that. Tosfos is making that case. Tosfos is saying, well, he could spend his own money on himself. Really? Maybe he can't. Maybe that also puts other people at risk. Right, but that seems to be an assumption that you can that you are so permitted to do so.
He can do it for himself, each took a gufo, and he can do it for.
That's the point that Tosfos is making. Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is known, but it's not so clear. So the Chassav Harash, and the Rush adds in, oh, Beperek Nara Shaharama, and I'm skipping this Bedek Abayi. Well, Beperek Hasmetanos Anim, Pasa Kitana Kama the Hasam the Amar Poda Osa Pam Rishon Afilo Adasar V'Demeha Umasdisin Degitin Iri Bishar Shavuyim Aval Ishto. Kugufo, v'chei mistaber. And the Rush quotes from the Rama that he seems to go along this way, but you see already that there's another opinion in that Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos. Right? The Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos actually is a machlokas. So here we take out the Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos. It's not in the base. For some reason, the base Yosef did not quote the entire Gemara here, that's a very relevant sugya. The Gemara here makes the comment, Tanur Rabbanan, Nishbis, the woman was captured. Bahayim v'vakshim imena adasar b'demeha. They request to her from her up to 10 times her worth. By the way, you see there's a limit there also, right? Up to 10 times her worth, not necessarily more than that. So, Pam Rishona Poda, the first time he redeems her, Mikan Ve'elach Ratza Poda, Ratza Eino Poda. If he wants to, he can redeem her, but he doesn't have to. If he wants to, he doesn't have to redeem her.
So if it's more than 10, you mean?
If it's more than, no.
Even less than 10.
If it's less than 10, up to 10, he's responsible to redeem her. Okay, so only one time. After that, he doesn't have to.
Oh,
if he decides not to and she somehow gets out on her own, I pity this guy. But anyways, that's what the Gemara says. That he's responsible based on the terms of the Ksuva to redeem her once.
But after that, let's say they want just her worth. Would that still not be required? I understand he doesn't do 10 times again.
So Tosfos here, Pascha, I just noticed here that Tosfos says that he doesn't even have to redeem her value.
At all.
Only one time, yeah.
He doesn't have to, but he could.
He could, but hold on. Rosh Shimon Gamliel Omer, however, he says, wait a second. Ain't Poden says Shun Yosal Kadei the Mayhem, Mifnei Tikkun Olam. Goes ahead and quotes the Mishnah in Maseches Gittin. So. What?
So he's saying he should not.
He should not. So who do we pass him like? Right, who do we pass him like? So Tosfos is suggesting, or some suggest, I think, that Tosfos is suggesting that this Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos is paskening that the Shaila in Maseches Gittin. I mean, in the Gittin, it gives you two reasons as to reason this is, gives you a nafkamina, and then leaves you hanging. Right? Then we're stuck not knowing which way to paskin in this Gemara in sort of the base Sugi Maseches Gittin. So Tosfos comes and says, aha, I'll tell you which way we paskin. The Gemara Maseches Ksuvos is telling us that you redeem the wife for much, much, much more than she's worth. That indicates that perhaps that indicates that it's only a society thing that we're not going to impose on, but if a family member wants to go ahead and do it, they're permitted to do so. However, two arguments with that. Number one is, maybe it's only your wife. Who says that it's all family members? That's A. B, who says that we paskin like that position in Maseches Ksuvos? Right? There's a machlokas in Maseches Ksuvos. You have the Tanakama, and then you have Rishon Gamliel, who argues on it. And not only that, Rishon Gamliel is invoking the Mishnah in Maseches Gittin. So that makes it more powerful. Meaning he's saying, the Mishnah in Maseches Gittin's like me. In which case, what? So that perhaps is indicating the way to actually learn the Mishnah in Maseches Gittin. But, of course, that might also only be the minority opinion of Maseches Ksuvos, in which case maybe you can have a steer between the two of them, and that's why you're stuck about this whole thing.
So family member can spend extra.
What?
Can or cannot spend extra.
So we're saying it's a, I think it's a big machlokas. It's a big issue. Number one is you have machlokas in Maseches Gittin. Second of all, you have a Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos that the first position seems to take a side on that Gemara. However, it could be that we pass like the second opinion in Maseches Ksuvos, which seems to take the other side in Maseches Gittin as to what the optimal features are. Shin Gamliel seems to say low plug, no exceptions. You're not permitted to redeem somebody for more than their value because it's the mishum tikkun olam for the benefit of the world, even if it is a relative. You know, we need to rescue rich people from their relatives being held captive also for a lot of money. So you're left with a big question. Now, the truth is, the other Rishonim, and Tosfos probably is the most prominent, but other Rishonim seem to take the other side on this machlokas as well. So that's where we continue on in the Beis Yosef. So in the Beis Yosef says, "Aval Haran Kasav." This is the Ran Maseches Gittin. The Yesh Omrim the Afal Gav the Lo Ifshita. Even though the Gemara here doesn't come to a conclusion, the Ian Hacha Mifshita, it does get answered. The Messiah by He the Perek Nara, or plus of the conclusion Maseches in Perek Nara, meaning the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos actually gives us a conclusion on that. What's the conclusion there? Rishim Gamliel Omer Ain't Ponis Eshvun Yisrael the Meiv Neitikin Olam. Alma, what do we see? The Rishim Gamliel Afal Gav the Leika Duchka the Tzibura. According to Rishim Gamliel, even though there is no Duchka the Tzibura, even though there's not going to be any pain, I'm not sure pain is the right word, but any imposition on the tzibur, he hasn't the baal chayiv liftos, because the husband is obligated to be poda her, ain't podin, he shouldn't do it. Keich del nigra behus, that they're not going to want to go and capture more. So the way the Ran reads it, the Ran seems to be reading it as no can do. There's no exceptions to this rule. Maybe you, the only exception might be yourself. That if you could take out your plastic, right, and then cover your cost, so maybe you could get away with that. But beyond that,
so we don't even say you're still kufu.
That seems to be the way the Ran is saying. Yeah,
he's basing the Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, right?
That's right. He's saying we pass the Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. And by the way, it's only ambiguous how to understand the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos. Rosh Hashanah Gamliel is really saying that. But okay, yeah, that seems to be the simplest explanation of Rosh Hashanah Gamliel is saying.
He doesn't hold. You can only be yourself.
What?
It doesn't work.
That's what the Ran is suggesting. Now. Yeah, so the and he, but by the way, that but the fact that you say that, oh, we're gonna, of course, you pass like Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. Why Rosh Hashanah Gamliel against the Tanakama? I didn't check the rules, the rule book on it. But you have a Tanakama that's a anonymous Tanakama. Rosh Hashanah Gamliel seems to be a Das Yachid, I think, unless Rosh Hashanah Gamliel is an exception. Which I'm trying to remember. Was he one of the people we covered this past summer? I don't remember all of them. But I can check the rule book how he passed on that. Pasuk Sham Harif ke Rav Shim Gamliel. Benirish Pasuk came Mishum the Stam Astis and the Hacha Kavase. And the Rif held that way as well. Why? Because the Stam Mishnah is like him. What's Stam Mishnah? What's he talking about? The Stam Mishnah is like him. The Gemara Maseches, back to the Gemara Maseches Gittin. The problem is Gemara Maseches Gittin. The Gemara itself was ambiguous as to how we paskin there. So that's this is. I don't know how you can really come to any amounts of certitude on a psak here. Hilchach b'iyan mifshat tamehi. Therefore, we need an answer. Some places chenir das Rambam shekasu parakas mihilchas natanus haniim ein poden es hashvuyim be'etikin olam shiluyu ha'ovim wrote from machareim lishvosim, so that enemies won't chase after them. And it sounds like no exceptions. And he quotes some others that are going to give that as well.
So this is like could be referring even if you're just paying the worth, if it could be calculated the worth of the person. Yeah, we just got done saying.
No. I think this is all Yosef Michdai.
Okay.
Yes. The only that when we said that maybe he doesn't have to pay even the worth, that's only because it's the wife's second time. I mean, that's only because it's imposition on the husband. But the community, I mean, the husband say, why should I have to pay for her? They're asking a very reasonable price, right? I mean, that shouldn't be my job to have to redeem her every time, right? Let the community go and redeem her a little bit. I think that's what his claim is in Maseches Ketubos.
So this is a qualification of what the halacha we learned last week, that you have to, it's more important than staka.
Yes.
So...
Yes, but yet there is a takana. Now, we've mentioned here before that takanos, right, takanos and gezeros and dini derabanan, all of these are like technically different terms, even though we sort of sometimes use them interchangeably. But as Rabbi Rekefet once on one of his shirim put it very clearly, I like this pshat a lot, that gezeros make us more firm and takanos make us less firm. Right? Gezeros are all about making sure that the Torah is completely upheld and we don't violate anything. Takanos is often about actually violating perhaps some halachos or seemingly violating some halachos for some greater good. That's what takanos are. So that's clearly what's going on in this case, right? There's a takana. We should be going ahead and doing pinyon shvuin all the time. But, you know, there's a takana that's going to get out of hand. So in order to sort of put the brakes on it somewhat, there is a takana imposed by the chacham. Now, I see there are a lot of holes in that takana. But there is some takana on the book about not covering, about not paying too much.
But that wealth is subjective. I mean, the value is subjective.
Yes, how do you figure out the value? Good question. Yeah. So
may be worth millions of dollars to you.
Well, what does it mean worth? Is it their assets or is it on the slave market? So I always understood it as just being on the slave market. How much? Now, I don't know if a person's assets is included in what they're worth on the slave market. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, but the slave market isn't really a thing because
no. And does the slave market exist as
Manasseh? Talmud Chacham may not be worth more than the slave market.
Yeah, except no. But the Talmud Chacham is anyways an exception to the rule. The Talmud Chacham is an exception, is just an exception to the rule. That may be for that reason, but we have no way of evaluating that. But outside of that, do we evaluate them based on their monetary value or based on their slave value? Okay, so I think that gives us enough of the flavor to then take a look in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So in the Shulchan Aruch itself, so in the Shulchan Aruch itself, it says it's a sifdal, Rishon Beis sifdal. So ein podin hashvuyim yosim yichdei demehem if they take an olam. That we're not permitted to be podin hashvuyim for more than their value. Because of Tikkun Olam, and he actually paskens the reason here. Shelo yihua oivim mosrim atzma leim lishosam, so that oivim will not be moser nefesh, will not go after them in order to be shavui them, in order to go ahead and get them. So it sounds like that's what it sounds like, no matter what. However, aval adam yachol liftos etz atzma mikol mashi yirtze. However, a person can be put to themselves for whatever they want, and that's a point that Tosfos makes. Tosfos makes that based on a particular story in the Gemara, I believe. Oh, based on the Gemara Maseches Ketubos. That's what Tosfos says. Tosfos is based on the Gemara Maseches Ketubos. He's allowed to save his wife. He's permitted to save his wife, so obviously he's allowed to save himself. Now, the truth is, it's not so clear he's allowed to save his wife for that much more. At least that's the position of Tosfos, and that's what makes it here into Shulchan Aruch, that he is permitted to save himself, and he's permitted to well, he actually doesn't say here that he's permitted to save his wife, and the Mechaber doesn't actually paskin he's permitted to save his wife, but the Ramah does. And the Ramah alludes to that here, to his position in Evan Ezer, Simon Ayin Ches, where he says that. The Mechaber doesn't say anything about the wife, and the Ramah there says he's permitted to redeem the wife. So a couple points here on the first half before we get into the Talmud Chacham. So the Shach here says, "Ein podin es hashvuyin." So Shach dalid, "Mashma afilu krovo ein liftos v'yosim ichdei damav v'ichdei tikkun olam." It sounds like even his relatives. V'chein mashma, right? That it seems to be that you were taking that side. V'chein mashma mi demesayim, and it sounds like that as well from the end of al yachol liftos etzasma, from the fact that the next line is, but he could be poda himself. right? What does that tell you? Sounds like, yeah, he could be poed himself, but he can't be poed his relatives. Mashma dafka atzma. Aval habach pasach the Rishayel, if those are yosim yichtei demeyim, that he could be poed to them more than their value. Bein lebito ukrova, for his daughter and his relatives, v'chol adam, and anybody ve'ein mochin, and we're not going to protest. Came the lecha ducha tzibur. Was in that case, there's no ducha tzibur. So what's the Bach doing? The Bach is taking the other side of that. Now, what exactly? Now, one other thing. Sorry, let's just finish up. The kosher came to a mochin kishabo liftos asisha. Certainly, we're not going to protest. He's poed to his wife. El de emu chuyavim liftos asisha, but he's not. He's just, we're just not saying that he's not obligated to biyosim ichtei demeah more than its value. So, what have we got here? And this is what I meant before that maybe it's purposely designed to be somewhat ambiguous. Which is the chumra? Which way are we being machmir? Which way are we being mekel? Right? What's the chumra? Right.
When you're machmir, there's got to be a
kula. Right. So no more so than here. Right? Which way is the chumra and which way is the kula? Right? So are we machmir? Are we going to be mekel on the tzibur and say, oh, it's okay, guys, you guys can keep your money? Or are we being machmir and saying, no, you even if you want to go and raise a lot of money for this person, you're absolutely forbidden to do so because there's other things at stake. So it seems like, right, especially, so let's take the example of the relatives, right? So a relative is stolen, is taken. So there's I guess, two shilas that are raised. A, do I have to raise a ton of money in order to save this guy? And B, if I could raise a ton of money in order to save this guy, am I permitted to give it over? And then I guess the third one is, let's say I gave it already. Like, what do we do with you? So the Shach seems to be on the side of no, that relatives are not included. And it sounds like there's some kind of restriction in doing so. And then he quotes the Bach as saying that you're permitted to do so. And then he turns around and says, so it sounds like if you went ahead and did so, ein mochin b'yado, we're not going to beat you up. Which sounds like what? Do whatever you want. Right? That's what it sounds like. It sounds like generally when we say that, the language of, you know, we're not going to protest against somebody who did that, what does that sound like? It sounds like b'di'evad will be okay with it. Well, we also have a rule, shasad chak b'di'evad dami, that anything is in a time of danger is considered like to be b'di'evad. And ein shasad chak gadol mizu, you have a guy who's been taken captive, so you can fall into the b'di'evad status. So if the shaila is actually raised, what's the answer? Probably the answer is along the lines of, you can't say you have to do it, and we can't say you can't do it. And then you're kind of left where you started. Then what exactly is the meaning of the takana then, if there's so many holes in it? So perhaps the answer is to give cover. To give cover, meaning it could be, you know, the whoever is passing this shaila, whoever has responsibility for making this decision, has to take these other features into account, the other the reality of the times into account, and do what he thinks is best, and while factoring in the needs of the person, the needs of the family, the needs of the community, and the needs of Klal Yisrael as a whole. And I think it's sort of a tool to be used as opposed to be paskin like. That's just the impression that I got from trying to work some of this through. The Pisri Tshuva here raises the issue of Pisri Tshuva Dalad raises the issue of Yosir. Ayin be'ish l'avram b'shem shas tshuvas nachal Yeshua. Devamakum t'ikul meichus l'kakala podin. Yeah, all of this is only if the guy's life isn't in danger.
Should Pisri Tshuva?
Pisri Tshuva on the page.
Dalad. Okay.
Yeah, all of this is only if the guy's life isn't in danger. What if the guy's life is in danger? So then it sounds like you would go ahead and do whatever it takes in order to be potent. That's what it sounds like from Nachal Yeshua. V'ayim b'tshuvas Yad Aliyah, Husim Mem Gimel, Shelo Kasav Kein, El Dafilu V'Omid La'Ariga, In Potent Yosem Chei Damav. He says, it's not true. He says, no. That's not true, right? Even if the person is up for death, ain't potent yosem yichtei damav. We're not going to redeem him more than his value. The teirutza kama shevetosvos perakanizik zakin lokai liba de emes. Plus that first answer in Tosos and Perakaniskin, what was that here, is not going based on the truth. Yeah, so that's that's the other Tosos. there's one more sugya where this comes up, That's in the fifth parak of Maseches Gittin. What's in the fifth parak of Maseches Gittin? So that's where the that's the stories of the Churban Abayis. So at the very end of that section, there's a story about one of the Amorayim was walking around Rome, and he heard that there's some kid who's like some Eloi prodigy that's in one of their prisons. So he goes and he like calls out from outside the prison, and the kid answers with some psakalaka, and he says, "Oh, this person is definitely going to be a major posek in Klal Yisrael, and we're going to go ahead and save him." And it says that he saved him for more than he spent some massive amount of money in order to save this kid. So Tosfos there on that Gemara says, how is he permitted to do so? Then we learned one parak earlier, there's a takana against doing so. So Tosfos there gives two answers. Tosfos, the first answer that Tosfos gives is, he says the kid's life was in danger. So that's what's being used here, right? The second answer that Tosfos gives is, because he's a Talmud Chacham, right? So just based on what we've learned so far, what do we paskin like? So the second answer is what makes it into Shulchan Aruch, right? That's the basis for the second half of this Shulchan Aruch, where it says that if the kid's a Talmud Chacham, or somebody's going to be a Talmud Chacham, you're permitted to go ahead and save them. So he's saying, so that first answer is invoked here in the Piskei Tshuva. Ah, if his life is in danger, then he could go ahead and save him. So the Rusa commented with those parakim, saying, "Lo kaya libe davis." Right? We don't pass in that way. Rather, we pass in the other way. V'chein kasev chuz meram leblim simen tesvav be'achad shaya nitpas betvisa betayne shezina imzona imtsrichim lahafriz alav mos harbe lahatzil nafsho v'heishiv shafal pi shal pi hadin ain tsrichim she'ain poden es hashuyi noshim with the demeim. Right? So you have this shaya from meram leblim about somebody who's going to force it to have a lot of znus done to them or be involved in some amount of znus. So we don't pode to that. That's including the takana. That we wouldn't have to pode to them because of that. Ach, however, v'fnei chil Hashem, yifrizu alav amar harbe. But there'll be a chil Hashem involved. So now all of a sudden we added another factor. Right? So does the takana fall away in the face of chil Hashem? Is that what he's saying here? That's what I mean. I don't know how to deal with this. And it continues with other of these characteristics, you know, these other things that continue on through the Piskei Tshuva. One other issue here, the Piskei Tshuva Hey deals with this. Okay, how are we figuring out what the value is? Right? How are we going to figure out the value here? So in Sif Hey it says Ayin B'Shuas Maram Lublin Simen Tesvav. Actually, is that the same one? Yeah, it's the same tshuva of the previous one. Shekasev the perish kedei damav hen kefi ma sheshava limkor v'shuk ke'eved. The value of how much he would be worth in the slave marketplace. Right, so it shouldn't be too hard to figure out. Ba'afagav devar tzeinu ze ein regilus limkor v'adam v'shvachos v'shuk. Now the problem is in Lublin, in Poland, I guess 18th century Poland or so. They were already not selling slaves in the shuk. So how are you going to figure it out? Mikomakom yachar shalom atzinu v'divrei shum echad me'achronim shum giloi das shum zeinu yishtana hadin medina gemara mistama gamiz v'meinu tzrichim laharach damav kamahaya shavalim kor b'shuk shemochrim shamavadim kagom be'eretz yishmal v'tugarma, I don't know what that is, Turkey maybe? I don't know. But there are other places where he says, but nobody else has ever dealt with this. Meaning, even though we don't have slave markets here near Lublin, we don't have any other way of figuring out. So there are other slave markets around. So we could figure out that's going to be the valuation of the amount for a slave. He says, however, Achim Matzati b'tshuvas Radbaz hachadash v'simin mev. He says, but we have another approach from the Radbaz. What does he say there? Shekasev de perush kidei de mehem hu kemo sheniftim shvuyim ovdei kochavim v'lo ke'ever hanim karbishuk. He says, I'll give you another thing. How much? What is the standard captive rate? Right? What are they charging? What are the pirates / kidnappers charging for a person like this today? What do we have to compare it against? What do you mean? How much does a non-Jew go for? So the figuring out the amount that non-Jew goes for, so that should be the equivalent. And then he adds in, this is important. He says, however, the Radbaz says in this tshuva, he says, our minhag seems to be that people do seem to be spending a lot of money in order to redeem these kafis. V'chasav the mitzvah rabbi ika v'chol amar b'lisasik b'zeh harezim mishuvah. It says, why do people seem to violate the takana? And they seem to spend a lot more money than the person is actually worth. And what does he say? Well, it's a big mitzvah. Okay. Right, so that, what does that mean? It means, right? Right, at least asik bezeh, I raise a meshuvach, and therefore it's considered good. And you can take a look, and you can take a look over there. So, I don't know. I can throw my hands up. You have this takana. You have what?
You have a tension between
right
wanting to redeem them and not wanting to trigger more captivity for
right money. Right, very much so. Right. We want to redeem them, but we don't want a lot of people. We don't want to bankrupt the communities. There has to be some type of valuation on that side. But yet we see the move from the time of the Mishnah and onward seem to be to say we're going to go against the takana. We're going to push. We're going to minimize the takana as much as possible. However, sometimes you need the takana. Sometimes there is a point where we have to say, like, sorry, we can't. You know, we're not going to give away 200 terrorists in return for somebody, right? That's a cheshbon that people have to make. And then you throw in a couple more mitigating factors of, oh, and a person's life is in danger, so then maybe the takana falls away. So it ends up being that you're going to have a very hard case that you're going to find. You're going to have a very hard scenario to find a case where absolutely positively we want to raise the money, but we're not going to in order to uphold this takana meseches gittin. There's only one. I know of one case, however, where there was having trouble historically figuring out how this actually happened. But Rav Schachter quotes in his article on Eretz Yisrael, on the halachic status of Eretz Yisrael. So the first half of it is what we talked about at Chal Shulis this past week a little bit, that it's Zachman Cheskinach, where he says that Eretz Yisrael, by definition, is always at war. And it's at a constant, I mean, it's been in a constant state of war since its inception, not just in 1948, but even before 1948. That it's in a constant, it has a halachic status of war throughout that time, and he spells out certain ramifications of that. So one of those ramifications is perhaps this halacha of pinyan shvuah. He tells the story that, I mean, this part everybody knows, that during the Black September incident, so there were hijackings of planes, and one of the people that was captured was Rav Yitzhak Kuttner. This was in the course of Chodesh Elul, or maybe already today. He was held for like several weeks. You remember this? You remember this happening? Yeah. I remember, like, where Futner was on the plane? Did you know that part?
I don't remember. I was relatively young. Yeah. I didn't remember who Rebbe Futner was well
okay
at that time.
So
it was probably like four planes, and they kept them on the planes.
It wasn't the Uganda thing, right?
No, it was something else.
No. So I think they eventually stormed the planes.
I always get them confused.
Yeah.
And they eventually
stormed. Well, no, this they actually, it sounds like they actually were let go after a while. In Jordan.
And then they kicked the PLO out of Jordan.
Right. So I think that that's what happened, and these people were actually free. It sounds like they were freed. I don't think it was. There was a different example where they actually stormed, Ehud Barak stormed the plane. They dressed up as a flight crew and went on the plane and, like, took out all the terrorists at once. That was a different incident. Mm-hmm. But they, so Rav Schachter in his article tells the story that a bunch of people in Chaim Berlin raised a ton of money, and they said, all right, let's go and we'll redeem Rav Futner for Yoser Michtei Demehem, mm-hmm, for more than his value, under the second half of the Salach and Shulchan Aruch, that if he's a Talmud Chacham, then you could spend Yoser Michtei Demehem. So apparently they went to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, you can't do that, because that's, because Eretz Yisrael, because this is a time of war, and this will be seen as weakening the army, and in fact, and it will cause a total loss of morale amongst the other people there. That's what he records in the safe. So it could be that during a time of war, because then you're aiding the enemy. I mean, it's not just giving money to a bunch of bandits, you're actually aiding the enemy. So that was his suggestion in this article. I've never seen any other. A couple of years ago, somebody asked me about this. It's at one of the weddings here. A friend of mine who was in cheer with me showed up at this wedding. And he asked me, you know, do you remember the story? I said, yeah, I read it. Do you know any evidence of it? No. He said, I was like, but Rav Shmuel's, like, two rows up, you could go ask him if he knows anything about it. So he didn't know about it. And I asked Jonathan Rosenblum, who spoke here, who wrote the biography on Rav Scherer as well as on Rav Yaakov. He had, you remember, he said, I heard something about it, but it's not in either of the books. And it could be the thing that he heard about it is that Rav Shechter had in the Sefer. So I don't, but he said, it's this guy, he said he asked Rav Shechter about it. He said, yeah, I remember, I was learning in Torah with us at the time. Or something, or his father, Rav Shechter's father-in-law was a Rebbe in Torah Vedas. So I don't know the veracity of the story, but at least Rav Shechter does paskin l'halach. I mean, whether how, what the, exactly happened in the story is distinct from the halacha. I mean, he paskins l'halacha that if it's actually eating the enemy, so then perhaps you would go back, I don't know if you would call it the tekunah, you would just say we're entering into, you're in war, in which case this is not a wartime halacha. We didn't actually read the second half of the Shulchan Aruch. Let me just read it. We'll call it night. It says, "Aval Adam Yachol Liftos Asatz Melchamash Yirta." V'chein Tamar Chacham Afilu Enu Tamar Chacham Elashu Tamar Charif Efsher Shiyah Adam Gadol Podem Osob Adam Meruba. If he's not yet a Tamar Chacham, but he is a sharp somebody who is going to become a Tamar Chacham, so then you can be poded them for Dam Meruba. Where do we get that from? So that's that Gemara. The answer of Tosos to the Gemara in Maseches later on Maseches Gittin, where there was this Eloi who was in prison that was redeemed for Yosef Mifdei the Mayhem. I would also point out that was an individual. It wasn't a, those are those answers, but you can say that's one guy decided to do it. It wasn't something that, you can say the takana is only that if it's going to be imposed upon the tzibur, the tzibur could put the brakes on. But maybe an individual could always do it. And maybe that's also a distinction that Gemara has. But it sounds like a tzibur would have the right to go and redeem the Talmud Chacham, which raises the question, then why would the Maram Rutenberg refuse to be redeemed? But interesting stuff. All right, I'll stop here. Next week is begin with who's permitted to accept tzedakah. Always interesting and controversial. Yes. Right. That's it.
I have to go pick up my wire. Sorry.
So you got into the office. You have what you need.
Yeah, I got everything.